welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. The taxation framework for crypto assets or virtual digital assets was introduced by the government last year. In the Union Budget for financial year 2023, the government has said that gains arising out of crypto assets would be taxed at 30% irrespective of the individual's income tax slab rate. In addition, a 1% tax-deducted resource was made applicable on each transfer of such assets. This year would be the first time when crypto investors would be filing taxes under the new taxation regime. I caught up with Indy Sarkar, co-founder of TaxCrypt, a crypto tax solution company, and talked about how crypto gains are taxed, how taxation differs for investors and professionals, taxation aspects for airdrops and NFTs, and what crypto investors should keep in mind when filing ITR this year. Let's listen in.
So welcome, Indy. Welcome to Simply Save podcast.
Thank you so much, Abhinav.
First of all, this is the first time when crypto investors would be filing returns under the new taxation regime. To begin with, can you take us through the key aspects of how crypto gains are taxed?
Absolutely. So let me first in simplistic terms explain how the tax regime works. There are actually two facets to crypto taxation presently in India, and this goes back to the rules that were announced last year in February. And you're absolutely right, this is the first year with the 31st July deadline where people will have to file their crypto taxes under this new regime. So first off, there is a flat 30% tax on all crypto gains that a crypto investor locks in during the financial year. Now, when we say flat 30% on all crypto gains, it's very clear that there is no offset provisions for any losses that you may have incurred during the year. So I want to be very clear that you could, in a kind of profit and loss kind of balance, be at a loss for the full year in terms of the net-net impact of your crypto investing. That doesn't mean you don't owe the government taxes, because the 30% rule on crypto taxation applies only on gains without any offset of losses. So I think this is a really important consideration for crypto investors to understand. The second facet of crypto taxation is around the fact that from 1st of July, government introduced tax deduction at source being applicable on all crypto trades that crypto investors were putting through the registered crypto exchanges in India. So these are the centralized exchanges in India where any trade that you transact, particularly in the context of, sale transaction, you are basically being captured for tax deduction at source before any proceeds is paid out to you. The obligation of TDS is on the crypto exchanges to collect and file with the government, and it's filed against your PAN card. As you know, the centralized exchanges go through a KYC process, so clearly every account has an explicit identity and association with a PAN card. So it's very easy to track those TDS amounts as well as part of that regime. So these are the two fundamental principles on crypto taxation, which clearly, when you have large volumes of crypto transactions taking place, both sell as well as purchase, the calculation of the gains becomes really important, particularly when it comes to doing a kind of weighted average of the cost basis of each crypto trade against which you are basically calculating your gains, and subsequently on those gains, you're paying your taxes. So the kind of cost basis for calculation of all gains becomes critically important, and therefore the challenge for crypto investors for getting that right.
But I have bought 2 Bitcoins during the year on different occasions, different points of time. First, I sold at a loss and second at a profit. How should I file my taxes?
So the government is only interested in your crypto gains, and therefore the one that you sold at a loss, you would have as part of your wallet where it is basically highlighted as a loss. So the government, if in the event of a scrutiny, wishes to learn more about all your transactions, then the wallet ins and outs would be the data that the government would scrutinize. But for tax filing purposes, the Bitcoin that on which you took a loss is just a standalone transaction, and it's the Bitcoin where you book the gain, it is that gain on which you pay 30%. So the disclosure to the government is on the gains on which you are liable for your 30% plus cess in terms of taxation compliance.
Right. So you mean intra-crypto, intra-token adjustment is also not allowed?
Correct. So when you say intra-token, if it's one Bitcoin moving from one of your accounts or one wallet to another wallet, that's seen as an internal transfer. So that's not seen as a commercial transaction. It's only when it changes hands from one tax entity to another, does it get qualified as a commercial transaction.
Now, Indy, it's been a year since the crypto taxation norms were introduced. What insights can you give us as to how crypto investing has changed since the rules were introduced?
So let's go back to April of last year when the rules first came into play. And I will tell you, Abhinav, that the distinction between what was the tax impact that led to a major decline in volumes, or how much of it was also being driven by the macro environment in the crypto world with FTX and all the other stuff that happened, at an international level around regulation, compliance, fraud, or alleged fraud, all of that also impacted investor sentiment in a big way. But also at a kind of India level, which is a very India-centric impact, the introduction of TDS, especially the kind of amounts of TDS, it was, 1% TDS was introduced by the government, that was seen as a big negative for crypto investors. So it took down a lot of volume initially, for people to understand the implications of TDS and the new tax compliance norms that were coming into play. And then once people understood it somewhat, volume started to pick up. But again, it's very difficult to segregate how much of the volume pickup was purely understanding of the tax regime and its compliance, and how much was just the macro environment and crypto prices rebounding globally. So it's always, multiple factors that come into play. But what did happen, though, and this is, again, enough kind of noise in the industry, was that a lot of crypto investors, given that the TDS rules applied to the India centralized exchanges, started to take a lot of volume to the foreign exchanges, the Binance of the world, where any offshore exchange did not have an obligation to provide for TDS, and therefore investors, sought, trading on international exchanges as a way of, circumventing any TDS compliance norms that might apply to them. But having said that, you may trade on an international exchange, you may trade on a DeFi wallet and avoid TDS, but your tax obligation remains intact if you're an India citizen or a resident of India.
Okay, got your point. Now, coming to certain aspects of taxation, does crypto taxation differ for investors and professionals who take payments in crypto?
That's a very interesting point, where if you are receiving payments for services delivered and you're receiving it in crypto, the compliance norms around that actually involve two levels. One is that you're part of the commercial, income tax regime, because you're actually receiving income, or rather getting paid for services in crypto, which means that the person that's paying you has to also worry about GST compliance, and your receipt of those payments has to also fulfill GST compliance norms. And then once it's a crypto asset in your hands, one has to worry about what's the cost basis for that asset that you've got for services rendered. So those are areas where it's, I would say, that remains somewhat of a gray area, where professional, tax advice is certainly recommended.
So when it comes to the crypto market, there are various aspects to it. Here we have airdrops and NFTs. How are these taxed? If you can explain each one in detail, airdrops and NFTs.
So basically, the this is a very interesting point that you raise, and this is, something that in the initial tax rules, there wasn't a lot of clarity. And therefore, when you do receive an airdrop, it's really the recipient that has to worry about what their tax obligation is likely to be on the receipt of an airdrop. And it's seen as, receipt with zero, without any consideration as such, right? You just received it. So the cost basis for that receipt is generally marked to zero. Now, the tax incidence, and this is where it also you decide, you know, you have to interpret the rules. The tax incidence is then calculated on a free market value at the time of such a receipt. Therefore, let's assume you received an NFT which had a free market value of $100 because you didn't pay for it, and the entire $100 is seen as a gain, essentially, and therefore needs to be accounted for. But there is also the interpretation that you can say that, hey, you know what, I received it at zero value, but when I sold it for 50, and therefore my tax obligation is, only on the 50 on a cost basis of zero. So those are little nuances which come into play. And to some extent, the rules are yet to be fully explicitly, let's say, clarified on these things. So this is again where, you know, on our technology platform, we allow for toggles that takes care of such interpretation when it's necessary.
So what would be a suggestion now in terms of airdrops? When should the individual pay taxes, on receipt or when he or she is like booking gains?
Well, the thing is that if you want to be conservative, where you're fully covered on it, so one would advise to capture or rather calculate your taxation gains at the point of receipt. Now, if you're lucky enough that at the time of your sale, the value is higher than what you had booked at the time of receipt, great, you've got an argument. The problem is, you know, the tax man, given that there's no clarity, this is where it becomes interesting because they're only interested in capturing taxes. So they'll find a way of you getting exposed to a higher incidence of tax, whether it's at receipt or whether it's at the point of sale when you exercise that sale on that NFT, for example. So as long as you stick to one consistent methodology for all such trades in your overall crypto tax computation, you'd be able to hold your position with some level of credibility.
Now, coming to the filing of ITR itself, any aspects that one should keep in mind while filing ITR for this year? Is there a separate form, separate section, or certain information that investors must disclose in the form?
That's a great question because I think this is the first time people are going to go through this, so there's a certain level of education. First things first, we strongly advise that please disclose all your exchange, centralized exchange wallets. Please also disclose your international wallets as well as your DeFi wallets, because the last thing you want is some incidence of a transaction that links it back to a wallet that you haven't disclosed, and then it becomes a lot more cumbersome if you're a crypto investor, and there'll be penalties and all sorts of things applied. The second thing is ensure that all the TDS that has been collected on your trades by the exchanges, because it's been filed against your PAN card, will be in the ITR portal, that it's reflected accurately in your Form 26 AS. So that's an important check that one has to go through. And then there is a section within the new income tax form that relates to you making your crypto gains, what I call disclosures. So make sure that your crypto gains is reflected in that section at the time of finalization of your tax return. So if you're following these principles, you would be, well taken care of. There are some complexities, we discuss around airdrops, liquidity pools, derivatives, and mining. If you've got a lot of that happening in your crypto universe or crypto transaction history, we would advise that get some level of professional advice, because clearly this is an area where the government, if they don't understand something clearly, they would just either raise a scrutiny, you know, request, or the system that's been designed at the government end, which none of us have knowledge of, may lead to certain triggers being generated that leads to a scrutiny. So it's, again, these are all those things that one has to, you know, keep a track of. And the other one being mapping tokens such as NFT, you know, across the board in all your crypto transactions to make sure that in the event of a scrutiny of your computation, you have the underlying data to essentially convince the tax authorities that this was not a gain and therefore there's no tax incidence on it.
Okay. Now, next is about TDS. You mentioned earlier in the discussion that 1% TDS is deducted on each crypto transaction. But there's a threshold of 10,000 or 50,000, depending on the nature of the investor. But is it true that exchanges have been deducting TDS starting from your first crypto transaction, irrespective of the minimum threshold crossed or not?
That is correct, because the exchanges have taken a kind of conservative view on this, because they don't know how your future trading activity is going to play out on whether you cross the 50,000 threshold or not, because they're of the opinion, because ultimately they would be the first port of call for any regulatory scrutiny or tax scrutiny for them to be compliant of their TDS filing obligation. And they're also philosophically of the belief that even if you haven't crossed that 50,000 threshold where TDS is applicable, you can always claim it back in your taxes, in your tax returns. So clearly, even if you were a small crypto investor that has, unfortunately, let's assume that you've made no gains, only have had losses, there will be a TDS component, which you have essentially contributed as part of your overall taxes, which would be reflected from the central, you know, portals of the ITR system, and therefore will be available in your form. So it is in your interest, therefore, to make sure that even if you've run you've had no positive return trades, your TDS is something that you can offset against your other tax obligations that you may have as an individual.
Is there a different way or separate way for a TDS reclaim process in the case of crypto?
Not really. You have to go through the whole tax filing process. And if you have, so for example, let's assume you have no income. I'll give you two clear examples. You've had no income from any other source. And the only thing, and you've also had no 30% positive gain filing on your crypto assets. And you've yet got 20,000 rupees of TDS that you filed. You should be theoretically be able to see an automatic refund of that 20,000 as part of your annual tax filing process. If, on the other hand, use case number two, you have had no gains on your crypto assets. When I'm talking gains, I'm not being net, but you know, absolute amounts of gains. That means you are zero tax obligation, but yet you have 50,000 in TDS. Then, as part of your overall tax, you may have had a job which paid you a salary, etc. Against your other income, you should be able to offset your TDS that you have paid on your crypto gains. So the process is the same. It's once a year when you get to file your annual taxes and get adjustments for TDS. But also remember that quarterly compliance around advanced taxes also apply for crypto investors. And those who have done their compliance on advanced taxes, you know, great. Otherwise, that's another area where the government could potentially question you if you weren't paying your quarterly advance taxes as and when you had booked your gains. That's a potential area where the government may step in to question you.
All right. So last question is, I know this is the first year where the investors, crypto investors, are filing their taxes. So what would be your advice to these investors while filing ITR?
So my advice to the investors is the following. If you've got a lot of activity in your crypto wallets, and I'm using the word wallets because most of them have more than one wallet, and there are complexities around derivatives trades and mining, etc., my advice is do get professional advice just to vet your overall compliance, tax compliance reports. We at TaxCrypt Technologies are offering that as a service to those people that have those complications and therefore wish to get professional advice. And for our normal, you know, technology-enabled tax compliance report, you know, crypto investors that perhaps don't have a lot of complexities, we're also providing the ability for them to ask their basic queries on how to go about meeting their tax obligations or meeting their tax compliance requirements for this financial year. So certainly a certain amount of handholding is required. Also, we sense that a lot of the crypto investors that are coming under the tax net have not previously been tax filing individuals. And therefore, the whole process of filing income tax returns is a new concept to many of them. So certainly an area where handholding would be necessary to drive proper compliance.
So that's it from my side, Indy. Thank you for talking to us and explaining aspects of crypto taxation to our listeners in detail.
Not at all, Abhinav. Always available. And if there's any follow-up questions from your viewers or listeners, we'd be happy to take those as well.
With that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.